to the Kingdom Builders Podcast. I'm Christine, one of your hosts, and I have with me my sister. You want to introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Kim.
We're both in Wichita, Kansas, in the United States. And along with us is one of our Kingdom Builders. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Darlene from Canada.
Yes. Welcome, Darlene. Awesome. Well, today we're going to be talking about, actually, whatever is on Darlene's heart. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about today. But we might get into other random subjects because that's how we do it. We kind of go off on our own tangents.
It's called Darlene. Flow.
Oh, flow. I mean, we go off on our own flow.
It's not my flow. It's the Lord's flow. But
there you go. Yeah,
amen. Wherever we're going, we're going.
That's awesome. So, Darlene, do you have a question for us?
I have a couple, actually. Okay. I wanted to know what world systems you've seen collapse, and have you seen the replacement or the kingdom, the kingdom fill that hole where something has collapsed world systems.
Okay. Kim, do you want to answer? Or do you want me to start? I feel like I have one in my mind that actually you could speak better to. And so could I just say that and then maybe you can talk about it some?
Sure.
Okay. So I was thinking about how South Africa has struggled so much with crime and economics and things like that, and how it has been a really cool blessing to see how a project I think especially you have worked on or worked in or with in South Africa, how getting Bitcoin into the economic system there has helped so much, especially in the townships and stuff. Would you like to speak to that?
Sure. I'm going to give a little more information, and I probably won't speak so much about South Africa because I think it actually has to do with more global things. So I will tell you, this is me and my walk, but even before we were engaging heaven as we knew it, I went through years and years of time with the Lord where he would take me and he would show me that world systems are being shaken. And then even after I started engaging and really started partnering with him and whatever he wanted me to do, not that I wasn't before, but this was a bit more like intentional and knowing that I don't have to actually place my feet on the ground to do something somewhere. And he took me to this place and he had me just continually strike the ground around these places. And I was asking him what I was doing, what he was having me do this for. And he said, there are world systems that have been shaking for years, but the foundations are going to start to crumble and they have to come down. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do this. You know, if he's doing it, I'm doing it. It's a great thing. And then a few years later, he really started leading me into what I would call the crumbling financial system of the world, and showed me that, you know, the U.S. dollar has been the king currency for well over 100 years, much longer than any other ever has been before. The typical cycle is about 100 years in the earth. And that it's coming to a time where that's going to shift again. But the entire finance, because that it's a global thing at this point, the U.S. dollar is the global currency, right? Not that every country trades in it from peer to peer, but in regard to oil and commodities and markets, that's what they're all traded in. So he started leading me, and it was through engaging, and it was through relationship. But I'm going to just emphasize that this isn't a hey, God, just tell me all the wisdom you have and I'm going to go do something with it myself. This has to do with relationship and working arm in arm with him and what he has. But through that, he was showing me that one of the things he has in place is cryptocurrency, and that it is truly from him and it is truly a kingdom system. That doesn't mean that man won't get his hand on it and do something to try to twist it, just like every other technology that the Father has ever released, you know. But it is truly a kingdom system. And the reason is because it's taking out any kind of world government or third party from being able to exchange value and make a good trade. And that's essentially what that is built on. It is a peer-to-peer system. So the blockchain in general is made to be a peer-to-peer system. And it has so many nodes and verifications involved that it is very difficult. I won't say impossible, but it is wildly difficult to fraudulently make a transaction. Now, again, this is being used by humans, and humans don't always do what is right. Right. But in that, I will say I've seen from the Lord that Bitcoin in particular is one of those, is the currency that he has in line for that. There are others that could solve or serve this purpose as well. And there are other things that are popping up, like central bank digital currencies, CBDCs is what they're called. So like the Chinese yuan has been digitized and is being traded on the blockchain and transacted on the blockchain. However, it is still run by the Chinese government. The U.S. is also looking at doing a digital currency that is the digital dollar. And that's not what I'm talking about here. This, because that bypasses the peer-to-peer thing. Like, it still runs through somebody else, right? And so why Bitcoin is beautiful is there's no one person behind it who's taking all the credit, right? And then also because it is truly peer-to-peer, and because there isn't a company or an individual behind it and running it, it has much less ability to be manipulated or changed from its original intent. And it was the original one. And I think if you press in and if you ask the Lord, he'll show you whatever it is he has to show you about it. But you can agree or disagree. I've known other people who've been led to different ones, and I think that it's totally fine. It depends on what the Lord's showing you. But what he's shown me is Bitcoin is one of those options. But the way he's rolling it out is also in a way that should be able to avoid mass devastation with the falling of the current world currency, which is the dollar. So right now it's a system that is being run parallel. And you'll see around the world, different places starting to adopt this as a legal tender. I even know in the US, and maybe this has changed, but I know a few years ago, Arizona passed a thing where employees could opt to receive their salary in Bitcoin. And it was like statewide. This wasn't just, here's this company who's offering this. This is if the citizen chooses to receive their pay in Bitcoin, then that is a valid way to pay them. But to what you're talking about, Christine, with South Africa, it's an interesting thing because when the Lord was showing me this, I really thought the way that I imagined it was that it would be something that starts with those who are dabbling in it. So people who have extra money to spend. And so then they invest in Bitcoin and start using it here and there to see how it transacts. And then we would see it start taking off and catching some momentum. But what we found with this project that we're involved with in South Africa is it is there are those people who are among the more wealthy in the world who are doing that, but to them it's more like fun money or like play money, like Monopoly money, right? Or like trading a baseball card. Like it just is, it's like this whimsical thing. But what we found is that the people who are really using it as a valid currency are people who are in dire straits financially. So those who are living in utter poverty. And what's happening is people who are running little shops and trying to make money for their families are starting to transact in Bitcoin, because in their communities, it's not the safest thing to have that, because then people who are also in dire straits know that there's money coming in and out of there. So there's something that could be potentially taken. But when they switch over to using Bitcoin, somebody could come in and try to rob them, but they cannot get the money. Even if they steal their phone on which the wallet is held, they don't hold the keys. So they cannot like take that money. And it's a really interesting thing because it's becoming this really secure way to transact for some of these lower income areas. It's safer, it's faster, it's more reliable. And they're starting to really roll it out into now more like the middle class kind of areas too. So it's like different than what I was expecting, but it's being legitimized from those who are in poverty, and it's coming up from there. It is like truly a grassroots thing. And I think it's kind of a beautiful thing because now it's like in grocery stores, you can choose there. Like they have one of their major supermarkets is accepting Bitcoin countrywide. Like that's a huge thing. And it's a tap to pay thing. Nobody has to ever know that you're paying in Bitcoin, but it's just an option. But you also see this in like with migrant workers. We like in the US, we see this a lot, like people who come from Mexico who are working here to make money and then need to send money back home. And there's an exchange that has to happen. So they will make US dollars and then it needs to be transferred or exchanged back into pesos for their family to be able to get it and receive it and use it, right? But exchange fees are not free and they're not cheap. And so what are people able to keep? Maybe 60% of what they make that their family actually receives. And what we've seen is migrant workers being able to go and do that and be paid in Bitcoin and then instantly transfer it to their families, who can then go and spend it as Bitcoin. And so it is like the exchange fees come out of it. So then they're kind of making more money or able to keep more money. So now the people can actually like keep some money to live on. Their family's actually getting more money. And it just is, it's an interesting thing. So I know that's probably way more information than you wanted, but that's one of the systems that I've seen. And it's the one that the Lord's been highlighting to me, but I know it's coming in other things as well. I think we see education, that kind of system starting to be shaken. We're starting to see some of those walls crumble. I think we see it in governments. It's healthcare. I mean, there's all kinds of different systems where we're seeing that shaking. And I know that the Lord has something going on. I just happen to have insight into the financial system.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you. Actually, I was listening to a speaker yesterday talk about Bitcoin and how it's a righteous, it has righteousness attached to it. Because it's accountable. You can't, there the record, if you want to see every record of it, he was saying, you can go online and view it. So there's no, there's accountability, whereas the central banking system doesn't have accountability. They can do whatever. So yeah, he was just talking about that yesterday. Interesting. Thank you. I really like that.
Yeah.
I would encourage you to go, like, in your time that you spend with the Lord, maybe ask him about it, and okay. you might be surprised what he may or may not show you. I don't know, but there's more. I just don't feel like it's mine to share. I think it comes through a relationship.
Yeah, wow.
Awesome. Well, that's what I was thinking about when you asked the question. And it seems like probably because I have a connection with my sister who is totally called to that. That's why I was thinking of that. But I think you're right. There are so many different systems. I mean, I think of homeschooling when you said the education system. The Lord a long time ago told me to homeschool. And this is before I really understood homeschooling. I had some friends when I was younger, when I was a kid, who homeschooled, but I didn't know what they did. Like, I had literally no idea except for they didn't go to school with me. And so I went to public school, and that's all I knew. And when I first, when God told me to homeschool, I was like, but I want to send my kids away because I have toddlers. And that's so sad. But that's how I was. I was just like, I can't handle this for the rest of my life. And he knew better, thankfully. And I was obedient, and I was lost at first, but I plugged into some homeschool groups and a co-op and different things. And I learned so much about how kind of corrupt the educational system has become. And even it was when I was in school, but way worse now. And just learning about that and learning that we don't have to do things the only way we knew or learned, and that the great thinkers of all time did not go to what we consider normal school at all. And they didn't do that. You look at, you know, all of the great theologians and philosophers, and that none of them did that. And so it's so interesting to go, wow, if they are the greats, why are we thinking that this is the best way? And so then I started really going, Lord, what do you want school to look like? What do you want education to look like? And one of the things he told me two things that were kind of paramount to how he was restructuring my beliefs on school. One is, he said, learning should be a lifetime thing. And it should not be that you teach your kids what they should learn, but you teach your kids how to learn. And that kind of switched my mind around into, wow, first of all, I have to learn to be a constant teacher. Everything I do is about teaching them how to learn and teaching them everything of how to learn. And so that had to be switched inside of me. And then I had to go, instead of, how do you spell this word? Well, why don't you look it up? You know, just changing things like this, instead of just going, you know, S-C-H-O-O-L, of course. No, it needs to be, well, how do you think you spell that? Now, why don't you look it up in the dictionary, see what you can find, you know, put it on autocorrect, you know, whatever it is. There are a million different ways. It doesn't have to be traditional. And so that was foundational for me, as well as the scripture that talks about how the student will be like the teacher. And I just thought, wow, I have been wanting to give my kids over to anybody who teaches. And that means they are going to be like anyone who teaches them. I know that I trust myself more than probably anybody when it comes to who I want them to be. And so, do I want them to be exactly like me? No, of course not. But I certainly want them to have my kind of faith. That's something I want for them. And I don't want them to go to a public school where someone may not even know the Lord. They don't even know that. So they're probably going to teach them ideals that are completely different than mine. And they're going to come home arguing with me about what's true and how things go, right? And it can be so hard because no one wants that. Everyone wants the very best for their children. That's why people choose the best schools. The, you know, I'm going to give my kids to the best schools. And some of the teachers are phenomenal. Like, there's nothing, I'm not trying to say teaching is bad, or the people who are in public school can be amazing educators and amazing people. But even if they have one teacher that's an amazing teacher with the best morals and the best beliefs, the next one they get may not be like that. And so it's something for me, and this is my own personal beliefs. Everyone can go search out what they're supposed to do with their individual kids with the Lord. But I've seen how the educational system has just started to crumble and crumble and crumble a little more. Every year, it seems like something happens. Even with COVID, what happened was like this complete shift, because all of a sudden, people had to homeschool. And half the people were like, I can never do this again. We're going to kill each other. And then the other half of people are like, why have I been sending my kids away? This is the most valuable time. And so it's so interesting how different people have adjusted to the crumbling. But you have seen kingdom people come together. One of my favorite things is Kim and the school that she sends her daughter to. Like Illy, her daughter, I would say is not ideal for homeschooling. She is the most extroverted person that ever lived.
I tried. And I did try. She was miserable.
I know, because, and it's not that you are a bad teacher. She is meant for like a big class. Like, that's just how she is. She's super extroverted. She learns from all different ages, which is so cool. That's kind of how it used to be a long time ago. You'd have a one room schoolhouse with all the different ages. Well, the private that's school that Kim does. Sends her to is like that. Mm-hmm. And they have all these different ages that learn together, and they're learning from each other, learning with each other. It's in a Christian environment. It is very kingdom, is how I look at it. It's about kind of the community way of learning. And that's what I think is best. That's what I think is good about homeschooling. It's the same sort of concept. It's just in a different way. And I love that, you know, you can trust her teacher. She's a great person who loves the Lord. And she's teaching her great stuff. And the same
thing. She's also teaching her K through sixth grade.
Right. Which is so weird and wonderful.
Is like the same teacher the entire time, which is great.
Yeah. And it's very similar to how I think of learning. So I think of learning with my kids, I would say. I will teach, for instance, let's learn about science. You don't have to learn only about third grade science. If you are excelling in science, you're going to learn and learn and learn about science to where you might be doing high school science, right? But if you really struggle in science, you might be learning about first grade science. And it's okay. Everybody's on their own level. And this kid might be phenomenal at science and really terrible at math. And it's fine, because we don't have these same standards that every third grader has to be exactly here. It's okay to be like this. And I just love it. I think that education is shifting to that, especially I can say in the United States. I don't know how it is all over the world, but here for sure, there has been a big shift in parenting and in education in this way, and making homeschooling and private schooling a lot more accessible, which is really cool.
I have to say, just this week, I got an email from the public school district in our city. My son just graduated from there. I tried to get him to do homeschool for the last 2 years of high school, and he was like, nope. I'm like, are you sure? But he just finished. And so I still get these emails from them. And it was essentially a budget adjustment that they are having to close, I think, 5 to 7 elementary schools in the city for next year because attendance is so down. But I will tell you, this is just what you're talking about. This is a sign of what's happening with the education system, like where things are going. I have another friend. When I was in the corporate world, I worked for this family-owned company. And one of the sons of the owner, I think he's actually an owner now because his dad is retired. But through all of the COVID stuff that happened, What he decided to do was open a private school. So he started a nonprofit and opened a faith-based K through 12 school in his community, because he was at his limit of what he could accept for his kids and his grandkids, having to endure, or like what they have to be subject to without any say. And so the solution was, fine, we'll privatize it. And so they did. But just like you're talking about, this is, if you look, you'll see these things are starting to shift, right? People are going, wait a minute, public school isn't what I actually need for my kids. There's got to be something else, whether I'm doing it myself or I find people I trust. But there's something in that taking back that choice or that option, or even realizing that it is an option. The other system I was thinking about as you were talking about the school system, it should be the most obvious to us on this podcast. It's the religious system.
True.
I don't know if you've noticed, but boy is crap shaking there. And boy are walls starting to come down. You know what I mean? And I think if we take a look back, especially being in this stream that we are, like the Engaging Heaven stuff, the stuff where it's going, you know what? Why am I doing that? Why do I have to do that? Why isn't this about my relationship? Wait, why do you think my relationship is bad? Because it doesn't look like yours. Like a bunch of these things, right? And then there's been kind of this mass exodus. I would call it mass because I'm part of it. Maybe it's just an exodus. Maybe it's minute exodus from the traditional church. But also, I have to just say, remember when I said I had been praying, and like even before I was engaging in heaven, like I was getting these words from the Lord. And one of the words that I was getting for years, Christine, I don't know if you remember this or not, but he told me that he was bringing us into a season where he's going to separate the wheat from the tares or chaff, whatever. Okay. Yes. And I was like, okay, that's scriptural. He's like, no, in the church. And then we start seeing this act. This is happening, like literally. And I don't think it has to do with division, but it has to do with paring down to the purity of it. You know what I mean? And one of the things that I've kind of shifted my thinking about recently was organized church. And recently, I've kind of had a drawback to it. And even though I was part of mass exodus, those are quote fingers because I don't actually know if it was mass or not. I feel like the solution is not for us to just leave that all behind and say bye. But it is for us to be the example of what it is to walk out in relationship. You know what I mean? Because the community is very important, and there's no part of any of the scripture that would indicate that it's not. In fact, it indicates the opposite. And so I don't think it has to do with forsaking the meeting together. I think it has to do with stripping off of the religion. But some of these walls are having to crumble, right? These foundations are being shaken because it's gotten far enough off course, or not focused enough on the relationship and too much on the religion, that things are having to shake up. And I think that's fine. But I also think we've seen what's to come. You know what I mean? We've seen being able to step out of that and focus simply on religion. We see what can be in this system, or in a system that has to do with faith.
Darlene did clappy hands for those of you who can't see.
Thank you. That was so good. I like that religion part. And it was already interesting.
Yes, very good.
So where do you see gathering gathering together? Do you think a lot of it will be online, or do you think we're going to go back to the in-person? Because I'm mainly online at this point.
And I've been it's both. I mean, I really think that both are ideal. That's what I would say. I think what is happening still is there are a lot of people who feel very alone in the exodus. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like a lot of people feel very isolated. Like, I don't know anyone around me who can share in this. There are still a lot of people like that, but it doesn't have to stay like that. And, you know, I was thinking about something. I've been thinking about this a lot this week, actually, because I just was meeting in California with some friends who are kingdom builders, and they we just spent time in this mountain house together, and it was fabulous. And honestly, there was nothing that was planned at all. It was just doing life together, always in fellowship. Everyone was hungry for the Lord. And so it was just all the time having good God times. It was like the whole time was having good God times. And none of it was like this big plan, although there were, we kind of tried to go, hey, in the evenings, we're going to have worship if we want to worship, but it wasn't like planned worship. It's let's do this song, you know, and it was very just spirit led. And then during the worship time, it'd be like, oh, I feel led to have this healing time. And it was so just completely led by the Spirit, no pretense. Even, you know, there was one night where I'm like, I got to bow out of worship. I really need some alone time. And then a few other people felt the same way, and it was fine. And still other people worshiped together. And to me, that was so ideal community. Like, we could all just be encouraging each other. We came out of this time just so filled up. You know what I mean? Just filled up. Felt our love cups filled up, our spirit cups filled up, everything. And I think that that was so important for me. I started thinking about how much I just wish that we all had community like this all the time. This is what I want all the time. I would love to be around people who are as passionate about going after the Lord as I am all the time. Like, not just, oh, I'll see them next month. You know, it would be really nice to just have that community and to all be living together. Doesn't mean we have to be in the same house, but I mean, at least living in community together would be fabulous. That being said, I don't want to give up all the online stuff, because I wouldn't have even gotten to know those beautiful people except for being online with them for years. And so I love that. I love all the online stuff just as much as I love the in-person stuff, but they bring different aspects. I mean, like you, Darlene, I've never met you in person. I would love to live right next to you, but I don't. And I live in a different country. And so hopefully we can at least meet like this. And then when the Lord leads, we can meet together.
Yeah.
Right? I wouldn't want to give this up.
Neither would I.
I think that's one of the big things that's shifting, and maybe why it's so necessary that the religious system is shifting. And a lot of these systems are shifting is because we're going from very location centered community and functioning. And we are now in this, we're in this place where we can function globally from where we are. And so I would say the tent stakes have been expanded. But when that happens, other things have to shift to be able to hold that. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't be surprised if that's a big reason why all of these things are needing to shift. Why would finances need to shift? Wait, we live in a global economy. We now know people on the opposite side of the earth from us and need to be able to transact with them without it being a highway robbery.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there are things like that. The religious system, why does it need to shift? Well, we don't, there is a need for a small community church, but there's also need to be able to connect with those across the world and across the globe. And it's been opened to us. And so when that door is opened, we need to be able to accommodate, right? And we need, actually, we need to be able to bust down the walls that we put up with all these denominations and crap and be like, oh, you love the Lord, me too. Fantastic. Let's be brother and sister. This is wonderful. Hey, I'm a son of God. You are too. Awesome. Terrific. Let's walk like that. You know, and I think there's just need for this education. Obviously, education systems are going to be different across the world, but now we're connected. We do get news from all over the world. It's not just local news all the time. Like I'm just saying there's all of this stuff that lends itself to more global community, more global living. And I think that might be a piece in why we're seeing so many of these things change. But what is kingdom? It is global. Right?
What about the media? You mentioned, you know, getting news from all over the world. What are your thoughts on the media and the whole network? Do you see that crumbling too? I mean, to me, it just seems like it hasn't yet.
I think so. I'll tell you my very official stance on the media. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Like I stay out of the news. If at all possible, I don't want to read it. I don't want to see it. I don't trust it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, actually, I wouldn't say I think. I know I'm not the only one. I think there are people who still watch it, but even the people who watch it know that it's not objective, and it's mm-hmm. not always the full story, right? Yeah. And I think absolutely I see that system starting to crumble. Does it mean that it will all go away? I don't think so, but I think that it's going to shift to being something else, because even back to the faith-based system, we're seeking truth, right? We're not seeking to just be filled with something. We're mm-hmm. seeking truth. And I mean, that would lead me into the food industry. Like, I think things are just shifting.
Everything is.
Well, the other day at work, this professor made a comment and all I could hear was fake news. Oh, it's fake news. And I thought, you know what? For him to say that shows that he's beginning to realize that what he's watching may not necessarily be true at all, right? Right. So there's that acknowledgement. And I think that stemmed from your president starting that off with fake news, right? Mm-hmm. So there was the seed sown, and yeah. then now it just kind of multiplied.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I'd say love him or hate him, I think Donald Trump did a lot to shake foundations.
Yeah.
That's true. So true. Yep. Well,
I shouldn't have said that. I should say love him or love him.
Yeah, Kim.
Where's your sons? Are we not sons? We may not agree with every decision, but we love them anyway, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, that's true. Well, I know you had more than one question, but we talked for almost an hour on the first question. So I do believe that we have gone past our time. So we should probably wrap it up. Save it for next time, okay? But I want you guys to know how much we appreciate the conversation. Just having the conversation, being able to be free with the conversation. And for those of you who are listening, know that we love having good, honest, real conversation, loving everyone where they're at, whether they believe the same or not. And
this is part of us building the kingdom together. It is really releasing heaven from earth and knowing that everybody contains a different facet of the Father. And so we may not even like what we see in somebody else, but it doesn't mean we can't love them and appreciate who they are and what they bring. And so if you want to be a part of Kingdom Builders, go to patreon.com/kingdombuilders and you can join in the conversation with us. We love it.
We love that.
Yeah, we do. So thank you for being on and we will talk to you later.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye.
Okay, bye.